And welcome into the Thursday edition, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ian Safar here with you on this Thursday morning. We are live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. We got a lot going on the program today. Andrew Burnett, Predators head coach, will join us at 7:30. They're back in action tonight, taking on the St. Louis Blues. Charles Robinson, for his weekly visit at 8 o'clock, we will get into the Titans, Philip Rivers, and I'm sure a whole lot more with Charles Robinson coming up at 8 o'clock. Joe Rexroad, good morning. How are you?
I'm okay. Doing all right. Interesting night on the college football front last night. I guess that's
very much so.
Yeah.
Very much so. Ian, how are we doing? What's going on?
Good morning. Doing good, thanks. A little chilly out there, a little windy, but overall, not too bad, thanks.
I do want to point this out real quickly, and I'm not doing this solely because I'm in first place, but it is part of it. We have had people ask, you know, an update. The fantasy football playoffs are starting, so how's the Robbie and Rex Road Fantasy Football League going?
We do. We should get an update on that.
Well, I'll tell you how it's going. Yours truly and Ian Safar, the two byes in this tournament.
Hey,
here.
Correct use of bye.
I'm the number one seed. I believe I was 13-1. I think that was the record.
Thanks. I think that's correct.
13-1.
Yeah. Who'd you lose to?
I don't remember. It was a long time ago. It was like
you beat
two.
Me by like a point.
That's I came close too. Yeah, you beat me barely too.
So don't get cocky here.
I'm not cocky. I'm just pointing out the numbers, the facts. 13-1, number one seed. Ian Safar, what'd you end up? 11-3.
I think that's correct.
11-3, number two seed. So Robbie Stanley, Ian Safar. The 1 and 2 seeds. Joe Rexroad is in the playoffs, taking on Officer Watson in round one.
Okay.
You know who's not in the playoffs? Paul Kuharski from PaulKuharski.com.
That's really 11th. Bad.
He's in 11th place. So,
how about Brennan?
Brennan, not in the playoffs. 10th place.
Brennan did beat Kuharski. I'll let him know today. He'll be very excited.
Kyle and Shelbyville.
Kyle and Shelbyville, our champion last year, did not have the magic this year. Last place.
Oh, wow. Yep. Last place. Sorry, Kyle. Jeez. Yep.
Tough one.
Tough break, buddy.
Tough break on that. So people have been asking. So there you go.
Here's
your update. We'll keep you updated on what happens in the playoffs there.
Yeah, I better get my lineup. Now that you mention it, better get my lineup set.
If Joe beats Officer Watson, it'll be Robbie versus Joe next round.
Ooh,
and I play the winner of Jared and Titan Sup.
Yeah, and that would guarantee if it is Joe, that one of us will be in the final. We'll see how it goes.
Wow.
We
could have an all-show championship.
We could. Joe, you mentioned a very interesting night. You know, I thought on the college football front, the thing that we would probably talk the most about today would be that the Tennessee Volunteers have found a defensive coordinator. And we are going to talk about that here in just a few minutes. But we have to start on the Michigan front. And, you know, I saw yesterday, the only thing I saw initially, Joe, was that Michigan had fired Sharon Moore. And I was like, really? Like on December the 10th? Shouldn't you have done that maybe a couple weeks ago if you're going to do that? And then as time went on, some more details started to come out. And there's, you know, an alleged relationship, inappropriate relationship that he's involved with. Anyway, so he gets fired. And I was like, well, that sucks. That's horrible timing on Michigan's front and obviously not what you're looking for there. And then as the night went on, and if you followed Pete Thamel, among others, and their timeline, just more and more layers added to this story. It's a crazy situation up in Ann Arbor right now, Joe. What do you make of everything going on with the Michigan football program and with now former head coach Sharon Moore?
Yeah. First of all, you don't see too many press releases from schools that are like, you know, we're firing this person, and here's why.
Yeah.
An inappropriate relationship with a staff member. I mean, that's, and of course, this is firing him for cause, so it's getting out of paying him the money. It's very easy to be cynical about this and say, so this internal investigation for the 17-8 coach who's kind of been meh, what if he was a 22-3 coach? Would
right.
we be talking about that? You know, I don't know. Now, there's also from Michigan, they say there was an anonymous tip. But look, this stuff's been out there for weeks, okay? And there's a lot of stuff that gets out there on the internet that isn't true. But, I mean, there's a lot about this for a while now, about this being a situation So, you know, the idea that – and, of course, now you have signing day has happened. I mean, from the Michigan side, it looks very shady. On the Moore side, of course, when it first happens, you know, all the jokes are out there, and it's like, oh, my gosh. And it's – you know, you can look at the whole thing with, like, the Harbaugh era. It's probably the most scandal-ridden, like, coaching era in college football history. I mean, when you consider this – when you consider Harbaugh with two different – you got a four-year and a 10-year for two different scandals, Connor Steins and then the recruiting during COVID, and then Matt Weiss, his former offensive coordinator, 24 federal charges for, like, hacking, you know, co-ed's phones. I mean, it's, like, it's unbelievable. But also then this turns really just rough, and there's going to be a lot more that comes out today. But, you know, Moore is – detained, but like there's some details out there that are really disturbing about things that went down yesterday, and so it turns into like that sort of overshadows everything else, you know, just the awfulness of the situation in general. I mean, you know, this happens, and obviously, I mean, he's 39 years old, he's married, he's got three daughters, and it's like, you know, getting fired is a terrible thing and all that. And you know, it's making it tough. But, like, you still, like, you know, the stuff that is out there, some of it reported, some of it not yet. It's like, you know, there's still so much there for you. And now I don't know where it's going to go for him. So it's really kind of, and of course, you know, then you have this woman who worked there. I mean, it's a bad, bad situation.
Very bad situation. And, you know, it quickly went to went from a, well, what are you doing, you idiot, type situation to, I just hope everybody's all right at the end of that. So, as you said, there'll be more stuff that comes out on that today, I'm sure. But, you know, from a Michigan football standpoint, you nailed it. I mean, it's been just scandal after scandal over the last few years under Harbaugh. And, you know, Moore gets the job because when he stepped in for Harbaugh – when all that was going on, he actually did pretty well. So that's why he ended up getting the job to begin with. And then it just, you know, it hasn't gone great for them since then. After they won the national championship, they've been okay. But, you know, they get the big recruit, Bryce Underwood, last year. Signing day comes. Look, they beat out Tennessee for a five-star running back.
Yeah.
And now that kid reportedly last night's like, huh? Like, what's going on around here?
Yeah.
So, like, there's stuff to keep an eye on from a recruiting standpoint now. And do they immediately hit the portal? Like, it's going to be really interesting to see what happens on all that front.
Right. And that is the thing. I mean, when something like this happens, the portal will open up. So, but it's still like, you know, the fact that, like, if this is done before signing day, it's probably a lot of things change. It's a lot easier to deal with if you're, yeah, because now you're getting into, you know, like early enrollees and all this stuff. So that's a mess. I mean, they just hired Kerry Coombs up there.
Yep.
I mean, Jonathan on the text line said, of course, Joe says Michigan's being shady. They had every right to fire him. I didn't say they don't have a right to fire him, Jonathan. What I'm saying is that these things have been out there. And you know, not just like random internet accounts either. I mean, it's been out there. The timing is suspicious. I mean, I'm sorry. I'm not saying that they didn't have a right to fire him. Obviously, it looks like this situation is real. I mean, so that's on him. I mean, I'm not saying otherwise, but I mean, you know, you have to look at the timing of this and ask yourself some questions about who knew what when, and those questions will be asked. But as far as, you know, moving forward, you know, you have the portal, and of course you have their scramble here to hire a coach. There's a lot of talk about Kalen DeBoer.
Yeah, there is.
Which, you know, I mean, talk about, you know, we've already had the whole Lane Kiffin thing with Ole Miss and LSU. Would Kalen DeBoer – it's a really interesting situation. Would Kalen DeBoer leave Alabama for Michigan? I don't know. I mean, if he got Alabama to the playoff, he knows obviously how tough it is to follow Nick Saban and all that stuff. He has seen the venom of struggling at times, including after the Florida State loss this year. But, I mean, it's not like you're going to a non-pressure place if you go to Michigan. I don't know. I guess I'd be kind of surprised if they're able to pry him away with this playoff. But, But we'll see. Then there's some people. I heard some people today. Chris Kenny talking about Brian Kelly. I mean, it makes sense geographically. I just don't know that Brian Kelly is all that attractive of a candidate right now. They could go get Jed Fish, but then that's still the Harbaugh family, and I think they need to cut clean
divorce themselves
that.
Of that. Yeah,
a lot of people talk about Jesse Minter, who is Harbaugh's D coordinator, was a D coordinator here at Vanderbilt, was D coordinator at Michigan. Well, he has a show cause, so. Just like most of those guys, he has a show cause, so that's probably not an option.
Yeah, the DeBoer thing is interesting. I mean, on the surface, I think he'd be an idiot to leave Alabama and go to Michigan right now. Having said that, you look at it, and it's probably easier to get in the college football playoff at Michigan just based on the Big Ten's not as deep as the SEC. You do have to play Ohio State every year, and now Indiana's apparently a superpower. So you got Oregon in the mix as well. So there's, I mean, you can view it any way I guess you wanted to at that point. But I think we would agree that the SEC is at least deeper than the Big Ten, even if the Big Ten has been more top-heavy the last few years.
Yeah, it's deeper. Now, I will say that, like you just said, you play Ohio State every year. I mean, I guess if I knew that I had to play Ohio State every year or play Auburn every year, I'd probably I'd pick the Auburn. And, you know, it's like just like with these leagues, again, it's just like in a random year, you may end up with a real – sweet deal. Yep. With either league schedule or an awful deal. I don't know. If the pluses that are pluses for Michigan over Alabama, are they enough to just uproot everything right now when you have a playoff team and it seems like you've gotten things going pretty well? I don't know. Maybe.
Can you imagine in one season if Lane Kiffin up and leaves the playoff team and Ole Miss goes to LSU, and then like a week before the playoff starts, Alabama's head coach just dips and goes to Michigan? That would be pretty wild.
That would be wild.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, talk about – I know Greg Sankey, you know, was asked about this stuff last week, and he did like the I told you so stuff because he's never wrong.
Yep.
But that can't be good. That can't be good if you're in the SEC and you're seeing these coaches with playoff teams just bailing and disrupting. And again, the calendar is the calendar, but – yeah, that would be – it's just been a crazy year. And this is so Wes from Herder says, I'm confused why he's in jail. Well, there was an incident. And some of this has been reported. I'm honestly not even sure right now. But there was an incident that happened yesterday.
Yeah.
That is why he's in jail. After he was fired.
Yes. 615-737-1025, our phone number. 615-737-1025. 1025. We are off and running here on Robbie and Rex Road. We will continue the conversation on some college football. Josh Heupel has found him a defensive coordinator. What do we make of that move? We'll get into that. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 the game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 the game. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Tennessee has found their defensive coordinator. They fired Tim Banks earlier this week, and now Jim Knowles has been hired as the defensive coordinator for the Tennessee Volunteers. Most recently, the defensive coordinator at Penn State. Obviously, that coaching staff just came to an end. So he was the defensive coordinator at Oklahoma State from 2019 to 2021, D.C. at Ohio State from 2022 to 2024, and most recently at Penn State. Joe, what do you make of Jim Knowles as the new defensive coordinator for Josh Heupel and the Tennessee Volunteers?
Yeah, he's been on the move lately, this Jim Knowles. You mentioned to me the Cornell. I didn't even realize it.
He's the head coach at Cornell from 04 to 09.
Yeah, and played defensive end at Cornell. So he check out the big brain on Jim.
That's right.
Although we know Kaharski, he went to Ivy League. He's kind of a dumbass. So who knows? Who knows? But
and not a very good fantasy football league player.
Yeah. We need to give him more crap about that next week. Let's remember to give him crap.
You can do that.
Look, it's interesting because, you know, Jim Knowles, he goes to Ohio State and does really well, you know. And then James Franklin steals him away and pays him a ton, rips him away after 3 years at Ohio State to come with him at Penn State. Now, before Ohio State, he was with the Mullet out there at Oklahoma State as his defensive coordinator.
Mm.
Which, you know, I don't have the numbers in front of me, but I'm guessing that, like, the numbers at Oklahoma State in the Big 12 in that era probably weren't, like, amazing.
Probably not.
But if you can get any stops, especially in that era in the Big 12, you did all right. So he goes to Penn State, and, of course, we know what happened this year. Penn State was disappointing. I wouldn't really put most of it on the D. Most of it would be on the offense. Like that Oregon game was like their defense kept them in it, kept them in it, kept them in it. The offense finally made a couple plays, but was just so hard to watch. But then, like Nico tore him up. But that's the crazy thing about this whole thing is like that whole thing fell apart when Nico destroyed that defense.
Yeah.
So look, is it a big hire for Tennessee? It is. I mean, he's been at DC at a high level. It's obviously it's a big investment. Clearly, he knows what he's doing. I don't know if it's because again, like now I'm looking at Ohio State and Matt Patricia, who in some ways might be one of the most disastrous football coaches we've seen, he's a genius now because he's coordinating the Ohio State defense. It's amazing how having the best players at just about every spot and be able to win every one-on-one matchup makes you such a smarter coach. But I'm not trying to throw like all kinds of cold water on this. I mean, it's a good hire for Tennessee.
Yeah, I mean, look, we'll see how it goes. The pedigree's good, so we'll see how it goes. I mean, the first thing, Jared in the YouTube chat, and we've got a couple texts about it. Oh, yeah, Nico lit him up. It'll be great out there. Looking forward to this for Josh Heupel. But, we'll see, as you mentioned. He looked pretty good when he's the defensive coordinator at Ohio State when you have all these pros just running around out there. Can he get this Tennessee team to be a little bit more stout against the run? Are they a better defensive team? Significantly better defensive team than they were this year. We'll see. There's some names out there that people were looking at. I guess the Washington kid, what was his name? I can't remember.
Was it Walters?
Yes. So, kid, as if.
Yeah, well, yeah. You might be older than him.
Maybe.
I probably am.
And, I saw some Washington accounts having some fun with that yesterday at Tennessee fans' expense. Yeah, Knowles is 60. He's been around for a while, as I mentioned, most recently Oklahoma State, Ohio State, Penn State, but he's been coaching in college football since 1988. That's when he started as a defensive line coach at Cornell. So long time he's been in college football.
Yeah, no, he's been around, man. He was there at Western Michigan, was his first DC job back almost 25 years ago. Spent a long time then, so that would have been with interesting Tennessee connections at Duke. That would have been under
Cutcliffe,
the legendary David Cutcliffe. Yeah, so he's had some, really very different experiences in terms of basically all the big conferences. I mean, this is his first dip in. Well, it's not his first dip in the SEC. He was actually at Ole Miss in 2003, so he's been around and. He's got that gruff D coordinator kind of look, He's got that beard and that white beard, and he got there with the hat on, and, the guy is – it's a good hire. I mean, it's Heupel going big, right? I mean, Heupel trying to if you're going to fire Tim Banks, which like we talked about, look, it was bad this year. It was great last year, but it was bad this year. But then, I think it's there probably is a little bit of like, okay, then don't just go get some guy.
Yeah.
Get someone who's done it at a very high level.
Well, one of the criticisms of Heupel from Tennessee fans has been, and this is not just a Josh Heupel thing. I think this is – we heard this when Vrabel was here. Well, he's too loyal, right? Like, he's too loyal to his guys. And now he's made a move, and he's gone and fired – Tim Banks, and who I think, as Heupel put it in his statement, I think he really likes Tim Banks. I don't think he necessarily wanted to fire Tim Banks, but he did it, and now he's gone and made a big move at defensive coordinator. So I do wonder, from a Tennessee fan perspective, if you were of the mind that you just, I guess, either one, didn't expect him to make a move, or number two, were critical in the past of maybe him being a little bit too loyal. Does this change your outlook on Heupel in terms of his willingness to go make these moves?
Yeah, and that's the thing. Look, there's something to be said for having connections with people, past stops with people. There's a trust level. We always talk about it in terms of, it's your buddy. But it's like, you've seen that person work on a daily basis. You know how that person thinks. Buddy, but like a lot of people work together. If you hire someone who you worked with, usually it's because you think they're good. Like, there's some real value in that. At the same time, these coaches all talk to each other too. You can see who's out there doing good work, and I think the willingness to go out there and just go get someone is good. I think that is promising because sometimes it's just good to have fresh eyes, different ideas, all that stuff in your building. And obviously, this required a lot of investment, and so we know that Heupel had that backing, which is good too for Tennessee.
Well, and you know, I saw Jason Swain point this out on X yesterday. You know, people were talking about, you know, and I don't think the hire had even been made yet. It's like, well, wow, is Josh Heupel going to quit hiring some of his friends? And Jason Swain was like, well, you know, in 06, Fulmer hired his friend. It was David Cutcliffe. That worked out pretty well. And then in 08, he hired Dave Clawson, who was not his friend. That was a total disaster. I mean, you can find examples either way. But sometimes, like, knowing people and knowing, like how they work behind the scenes is not a bad thing.
Right. And David Clawson, by the way, I mean, he actually is a good football coach, but it just was terrible at Tennessee, you know, that year. So who was the quarterback then? Was that
08? That would have been maybe Crompton?
Was that Crompton then? I think it was.
I think so.
Yeah. So, yeah, I think it's good to have a mix. You know, it's good to have your guys and all that stuff. But, you know, I mean, I think the Tennessee offense this year, huge year for it. But before that, I mean, I was questioning. We've been talking about the OC. It's like, it's like a guy, you know, he's in his QB room at Oklahoma and all that stuff. But can you be better than that? Because he went out and got Golish, right? I mean, he did that when he was at UCF, but he's like, I'm going to go get this dude. I think Golish was at Iowa State then as a tight ends coach. And all of a sudden, let's bring some power to concepts to this offense I'm doing. You know, like that's smart, you know, but you want to have a mix of it. So, and sometimes you go out and poach someone big, and it's not a fit. So, I mean, that is something to watch this year. I mean, if they're not immediately the 85 Bears, you know, you got to have, a little bit of patience. But there still should be enough talent on hand. And, of course, they're about to hit the portal to have a good defense next year. I guess we have heard that Jermod McCoy, is that reported?
I saw that floating around last night. I don't know where – I mean, look, that would be a 0% surprise if he's declaring for the NFL draft.
Yeah, I mean, it's like if you're still perceived as a first-round pick, you probably can only hurt yourself next year, right, by playing college football.
I would totally agree. Let's go to our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in Brian to the program. Brian, good morning. Thank you for calling in.
Hey boys. I tell you what, it's great to be a Michigan Wolverine this morning. and the irony. You know, fellas, I had to be honest, I cleansed myself of X, not the drug, but the app the other day, just because I needed to break away. And, of course, I get a text from one of my friends that they just fired Sharon, and which is not unnecessarily unexpected because there was rumblings that he could potentially lose his job, not just for the coaching aspect, but then to find out all the other allegations and things that come from it, man. I tell you, it's just, why can't we have nice things at the same time? Michigan basketball team is doing great right now, blowing everybody out, and of course this comes up. And you know, you think about the families and stuff that's, that are affected by the decisions that grown people make, and that's who you really feel bad for. But you know, you would think Sharon would learn. I know Joe probably don't feel too bad about everything that's happened since, you know, what happened in MSU, but you would think he would look and see across the way what happened over in East Lansing and make better decisions. But, you know, this is not a pity party for Michigan fans, because I know we bring some of those things on ourselves. But you really sometimes as a fan, man, you don't know what these people are actually doing behind closed doors. And when and things like this come out, you kind of just wish things could be nice. But that's all I got, fellas, man. Thank y'all for getting me in this morning. Y'all have a good rest of the day.
Thank you, Brian. Appreciate you, man.
Yeah, I feel just as bad for anybody at Michigan as at Michigan State or whatever. But, no, I mean, it's a bad situation. So I'm glad he mentioned the families and all that stuff in this thing. People make bad decisions and can mess up great situations. I mean, I don't think Michigan was going to – I mean, 17-8, I don't think they were going to fire him. They weren't going to fire him. They weren't going to fire him and pay him. They're firing him for cause because of this, and they get out of the money. They weren't going to fire him. Just for football. I mean, it hasn't been great, but I mean, they do have Bryce Underwood as a freshman this year coming now. That's another question we haven't talked about.
That's a good point.
I mean, is Lane Kiffin, you know, on the horn saying, hey, Bryce, remember when you were coming to LSU? What's it going to take?
Yep. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Your reaction to Tennessee hiring a defensive coordinator, plus a program we've talked a lot about this week, continuing to dive into the mud. We'll get into that. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. It is bowl season. The Game Nashville Sports Network, your home for college football bowl games and the college football playoffs. Presented by Parman Tractor and Equipment. Saturday, catch the Celebration Bowl on 102.5 The Game as SC State takes on Prairie View at 11 a.m. Big one coming up. For a list of games carried on the Game Nashville Sports Network, visit thegamenashville.com/bowlgames. I could tell by Ian's face in there that
he
is
be glued.
Very much looking forward to SC State and Prairie View at 11 a.m.
Let's go. Are we going to do a bowl challenge?
Why not? How much Prairie View tape have you watched this year, Joe?
I have not watched a ton of Prairie View, I must say.
All right. Well, we're going to find out together.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a few, you know. Bowl season, there's some teams you didn't know existed sometimes, but that's kind of fun too, right?
It is.
And companies you never knew existed.
Yeah, that too.
Yeah, yes. Yeah, some interesting. I went through the bowls actually the other day. We get some interesting sponsorships out there for sure. Yeah. The Snoop Dogg Arizona Bowl is definitely the best one.
It's pretty awesome.
Just sponsored by Snoop Dogg. Yeah. I mean, you got to love that.
Yeah, it's pretty sweet. Pretty sweet. Joe, a program that we've talked a lot about so far this week has been Notre Dame in the aftermath of their omission from the college football playoff. Their athletic director has been out there yelling at the ACC and all these different things, and they're mad, and they're taking their ball, they're going home, they're not playing in the bowl game. Well, and apparently, for at least a brief time yesterday, Joe, there was an event scheduled for a bookstore on the Notre Dame campus Friday with College Football Playoff Committee member Ivan Mazel about a book that he has done called American Coach. Now, it's about a former Notre Dame coach that he'd done this book on, and this event had been scheduled for a while. And now in the aftermath of the College Football Playoff Committee leaving Notre Dame out, at least for a time yesterday, Notre Dame allegedly canceled that Friday event. I think it has since been rectified because of the public backlash that they received. But, Joe, boy, is Notre Dame deep into the sauce this week when it comes to the pettiness.
Yeah. Now, look, I think that it's just the bookstore did it, you know? So, like, I don't think this was
It's all one institution, baby.
Well, yeah, I suppose that's true. But yeah, so I don't know if, like, the bookstore was being petty and then, you know, Notre Dame called on his behalf. There was a firestorm about this online, of course, you know, all these people. Ivan Mays. I mean, again, he wrote this book on Frank Leahy. He took himself out of the room because of that.
Yeah.
Because he's written other, like, big stuff about Notre Dame before. You know, Ivan, a great writer for a long time, worked for ESPN.com for a long time, but he actually took himself out of the room when they voted for Notre Dame, or voted for or against. He's like, I'm recusing myself because, okay, well, that makes sense. And yet, just because he's on the committee, you know. No, get out of here with your stupid book.
You're not coming
about
here.
Notre Dame football.
There will be no event.
Yeah. I mean, the entire – so they fixed it. So, you know, whoever fixed it, I mean, maybe it's like the bookstore was going to do it and then the AD called – who knows, man. But, yeah, this week has been really, really amazing on the Notre Dame just – yeah, just the pettiness, take my ball home, all that stuff. It's been really quite a display. And I understand being mad about missing the playoff. I do. You could feel like you got done dirty just by the weekly, no, they're ahead of Miami.
Sure.
No. And all of a sudden you flip it at the last minute. So I get it. But also, like, the anger at the ACC, too. Again, we've talked about it some, but it's like, what do you expect? Like, Miami is an ACC football team. Notre Dame is not.
Yeah.
I don't get why you don't understand that.
No, I mean, look, like you said, I understand the frustration from Notre Dame. It's getting harder and harder to really have a whole lot of sympathy for them as they walk around here and do what they've done so far this week. But hey, I'm glad that the book signing is back underway. I hope it's a well-attended event coming up on Friday at the Notre Dame bookstore. I'm sure it will be.
Yes, I'm sure.
All the Notre Dame students, get on out there and go buy this book.
And by the way, speaking of Notre Dame, I mean, there's a name that You know, there's a name that someone threw out there.
Can Marcus Freeman?
Can Michigan get Marcus Freeman? I doubt it. But, you know, shoot big. We do have a lot of response on the Michigan stuff. Look, yeah, Les Miles. There you go.
There we go.
There you go. Jared from Spring Hill says, Michigan's fans got a national title by cheating. I'd say that's a nice thing to have that hasn't been taken away. Yeah, it's a thing. It's like, you know, all this stuff is like if you just flipped it around, like college football is totally like this. I mean, it's like if this was, you know, right now, like Michigan State and Ohio State fans are screaming about all the things, Michigan being dirty, all that stuff. If your team won the national title in 2023 and all this stuff happened, you probably still wouldn't get rid of your sweatshirt, right? Like you
probably not.
I mean, they didn't have to vacate the national title. The national title did happen, right?
It did.
So if you're a college football fan, would you take all the stuff that's gone on here, like essentially, again, like this era will be studied among, like, just for all of the things that have gone on. Like, it's incredible. And, again, a lot of them not related. Matt Weiss, to me, just apparently was just a total creep on his own. I mean, so, like, they're not necessarily related. I can't, like, say Harbaugh's responsible for all the things. But when you add it all together, it's incredible. So would you take that but also take a national championship? How many fan bases would say no?
Probably not many.
Not many.
Yeah.
So, again, all of college football is going to point at Michigan and say it's all tainted. It's disgusting. The Michigan man thing, yeah, whatever. But in Michigan, fans would do the same thing to somebody else, right?
Sure.
I mean, it's just what how it works. Is. So, but I do think that, like, if you're Michigan – you need to go ahead and, like don't have any more, like, hey, let's have Jim Harbaugh back to be honorary captain. Like, just go ahead and, you know what, thanks for the wins and time to move on.
We will acknowledge them 30 years from now. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. It's time for the best and worst things in sports. We'll take your best things, your worst things on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game.
The best and worst of the sports week, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
On ESPN.
102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
It's time!
This is the worst.
You look like you're feeling sorry for yourself.
I believe in miracles, yes! Unbelievable.
He's one of one. He is him.
This is a Coke bottle, it's not a crystal ball.
When I woke up this morning, I was feeling pretty dangerous.
Okay, let's go.
It is time for the best and worst things in sports. We'll take your best things, your worst things, on our text line. Driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Joe Rex Road, go ahead and kick us off with the best and worst things in the world of sports.
So, best, I'm going to go with, you know, we're waiting on Diego Pavia. To possibly win the Heisman. He's going to be in New York. It's a big deal. It's good for him. Eli, I almost called him Jared Stowers. Jared on the brain. Eli Stowers, Vanderbilt tight end, just won the William V. Campbell Trophy. That's called the Academic Heisman.
Yep.
That is a big, big deal. First of all, it's the Academic Heisman, but obviously it's like it's a combination of like quality of player and your academic achievements. I mean, he's a ridiculously good student at Vanderbilt who also is going to play in the NFL. And to win the William V. Campbell Trophy is a huge, huge deal. So congratulations to Stowers for doing that. That's a big deal. My worst in sports, you know, I mean, I have to get to some sniping back and forth on this, but just, you know, this whole thing with Michigan, I know that it's fresh, and again, there's a lot of stuff that's going to come out today, I think. This is a developing story. But just, you know, the fact that this gets into – people get fired, and whatever, we can talk about all the – whatever, the investigation and the coaching hire and the portal, that stuff. But, you know, the fact that this turned into a legal situation and that he was detained last night, it's a terrible thing. Feel terrible for all the people who got hurt in this, and that's just an easy worst in sports.
Ian Safar, your best and worst things in the world of sports.
I did actually have to piggyback off of Joe's Vandy there. Clark Lee and just the way he's handled this whole
SEC Coach of the Year, by the way.
Yep.
Okay.
With possible National Coach of the Year stuff coming.
Great. I did not know that part, but just the way, you know, the team and he and everybody have handled it. Just complete 180 from Notre Dame.
Yep.
So credit to them. I love Clark Lee. I mean, I think he's just
good coach.
Seems like a nice guy, even though I've never met him. But and then worst, you know, I'll give it to the Daniel Jones injury.
Yeah.
The whole situation. You just feel bad for him. You know, I'm not a Colts fan, obviously, but playing on the broken leg, then you lead to the Achilles.
Not good.
It's just the offseason rehab for him just sounds terrible. So I'll make poor Daniel Jones. I'll make that as my worst.
I got a lot of things I could do with the best here. I mean, the Preds and Titans are both winning right now. We hadn't been able to say that very often. Titans just won a game. Preds have won like 5 out of 7. A lot of winning going on around here.
Wow.
With the local professional sports teams. I mean, my best has to be Phillip Rivers back in the NFL, right? Like, he's back in the NFL.
Oh, that was on my list. There. I didn't want to steal it from you.
Well, he got up there and he had his, you know, his all shucks press conference yesterday and a lot of shoots and dead gummits and all that thrown out there. I can't wait. Can't wait to watch him play. He's going to play on Sunday. Like, he was talking about it yesterday. He's like, I'm prepared to play on Sunday against Seattle. My worst thing in sports, Joe, is he plays against Seattle coming up on Sunday, and I am in almost legitimate fear for his life in this game.
Is he playing for sure?
I mean, not for sure. He's probably going to play.
Yeah.
I mean, he's taking reps at practice, and he was the first one through the drills yesterday, so I think he's going to play.
It is kind of I also still think that's sort of a best because I can't wait to watch it. But you're right. It's like, oh, of all things,
it's on the same time, right? It's the Titans game, unfortunately.
Yeah, I know. I'm going to have to double screen this thing.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't have a double screen.
Yeah.
It's amazing. Even his presser, like Greg Dorla asked him how much he weighs. Yeah. And I will say, I mean, he looks like he's put a couple pounds on, you know?
He does.
In the NFL.
He's got like my dad face.
Yeah, a little bit. But
it's like, I just tell you, I don't weigh as much as it's not the same as it was when I walked off the field in Denver last time out. But I ain't running away from anybody anyway, so who cares?
You got to love it. Yeah, someone said one of the best here is a lot more fricks and dag gummits.
Oh, yeah.
Coming out here. I like this one. Best Vandy reaction. Worst Notre Dame reaction. That is a good point. Again, Jonathan's so mad about like the Michigan thing. Look, man, the worst is my take that Michigan's somehow shady. I'm just telling you, people are going to wonder who knew what when.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Like, I understand this isn't like an advantage for Michigan, although there are some – the message board geniuses had like, Michigan's back, baby! Like, there's some fans that are celebrating this because they don't think he's a good coach. But, yeah. Who knew what when? It's a question that's going to be fair to ask in the AD Ward manual. I would think that, you know, people would start looking at him a little bit at Michigan too. I mean, there's a lot of stuff on his watch that isn't great. Ed, best thing in sports, BK's plain gate Twitter feud and playing mall cop with Titans media. Yeah, we didn't get into that yesterday. I actually meant to ask PK about it. I just forgot. Then someone on Twitter was like, you must have been told from above not to talk about it. Yeah, that's what happened.
Yeah.
So for anybody who doesn't know, sideline reporter shared a story on another show about like something that was said on the plane that was kind of like, I think, a joking thing about like, Cam, calm down, don't be mad. Well, that reporter is now off the plane. And I feel like PK may be getting a little bit too much enjoyment out of it. I don't know.
I mean, that would be unlike PK. He doesn't do those things.
Yeah, that's true. PK doesn't ever rip other media and then take pleasure in bad things that happen to them. But, I mean, obviously that's one of those things that's a clear no-no. I guess I do wonder about the logistics now. So is it taking some commercial flights? They played San Fran this week.
It's a long drive.
Yeah, that's true. You might have wanted to get started already if that was the case.
I don't think that's a trip you want to take in the car.
And also has a worse, which is the overreaction to Cam's comments and the weak head coach feeling the need to speak with him about it.
Well, I mean, TD had a back and forth with Mike McCoy about that in the press conference the other day. I mean, look, I think people are kind of blowing the Cam Ward stuff out of context a little bit after the game. Cam Ward didn't play well in that game. And I think if you're looking at the totality of the Tennessee Titans, if Cam Ward completes 50% of his passes and is inaccurate at times as he was on Sunday, Titans probably aren't going to win very many games moving forward. So I kind of think it's nice that the quarterback recognizes that it's great to win a game and it's awesome. And I know that people around that organization have been just downtrodden and beat up all the time because they can't win.
Yeah.
So enjoy the win. But I think you also got to have a little bit of dose of reality if you're the quarterback and be like, yeah, I'm going to have to play a little bit better than I did in order for us to win on any sort of consistent basis moving forward in my career.
Yeah. And also, look, I mean, let's be – everybody's a human being here. And so if you're him and everybody's always done the Shadur Cam thing and Shadur just threw for 365 or whatever and you didn't have a good productive day, even with all the context involved, I mean, I don't have any problem with, like, you know, I could see that being disappointing to you. That's fine. But mostly I think you're right. It's just like I need to play better. So I don't know why. Like people – like do you really expect – him or really anyone, it's good to win. It's better to win, but like to do cartwheels because you just got to 2-11.
Yeah, I mean, come on.
You know, I mean, yeah, let's be real. I like this. The best is Coach O with Busting with the Boys. I must say, I might have to actually
watch the whole thing.
Like,
I've seen several clips.
The whole interview, like yeah. That looked pretty amazing.
It's pretty awesome.
He's like, oh yeah, we got 24 beers. I drank 22.
I told Joe Burrow that if I didn't get him to come to LSU, I was going to lose my job. I never watched him play, but I was told he was good. So. I just went all in.
And in case anybody wondered, it's a great reminder for everybody always, you know, if you want to complain still about, you know, players getting paid and whatever, all the, you know, he basically said, yeah.
We should go in the back door. Now we go in the front door. Here's the money.
I mean, the NIL existed before. Trust me.
Jason Whitebluff, one of his best was actually in, or one of his worst, excuse me, was actually in contention to be my best. You know, he's talking about the Thunder dominating the league, having three first-round picks coming up as well. They're 24-1. You know, we've talked about some of the records in sports. I didn't know that anybody would ever break the 72-10 record of the Bulls, and then the Warriors did. They got to 73-9 and didn't win the championship that year, as you're well aware,
yep.
As we've talked about.
Yep.
Oklahoma City's 24-1 in the NBA, and they're just crushing everyone. Their average margin of victory is 17.4 points per game. They are destroying everyone. They might go like, I don't know, 76-6. Like, it's going to be amazing, the record they end up with.
That would be your best?
Yeah, I mean, it's in contention.
Yeah, see, I'd make it a worse too. And again, it could work for either,
this
but
is
I just
the Warriors.
I don't think
it'd be all over it.
No, I know, but it's not good for the NBA. Even the Warriors when they were winning those championships, it wasn't like guaranteed that they were going to win it. Like, again, that year they didn't win it. So hopefully that happens this year in the playoffs to OKC, but I'm just bored by the thought of them just dominating for like the next few years, you know? I need someone to rise up.
24-1.
Maybe Cade Cunningham and the Pistons. Yeah, it's ridiculous. That is ridiculous. Joy from Bellevue, both Vandy basketball teams ranked undefeated.
Yes.
Both very good. That's a good one for a best.
Absolutely. 615-737-1025, our phone number. We got a lot into the Titans head coaching search yesterday, and now some more conversation around the league on some potential candidates that could be out there for the Tennessee Titans. We will get into that coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game.